Well, the question is, are you willing to suffer for Christ? Are you willing to suffer for Christ? If you were told that to follow Christ, there's going to be pain, are you still in? Jesus' introduction to being his follower was, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. The cross was an invention for torture. It wasn't a cute thing that we hung on our necks or put in our logo so that we'd have warm, fuzzy feelings. It was an instrument of death designed to publicly display death. Are you still in if the cross is where this whole thing leads? It's a real question. It's not a hypothetical. The very next verse, Jesus says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for my sake, you will find it. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6 today. Before I forget, congratulations on the win. The W, coach, where are you at? There you go. We'll give you half credit. I mean, it's always the coach's fault when you lose, but when you win, it's like, well, the players did good today. Okay, that was incredible, fun stuff. Was anybody there? You were there? 27-mile-an-hour wind, did you freeze? Yeah, they were just having to hold the ball so it didn't get kicked off the tee. I'm getting off track. Okay, open your Bibles to Mark 6. The point of this section in Mark 6 is to ask yourself, and for those who want to follow Christ, are you willing to suffer for the gospel? That's the point of this section. Are you willing to suffer for Christ? Mark 6, this whole chapter, begins with Jesus sending out his disciples to preach. And then he pauses and he tells the story of how John the Baptist dies, and then verse 30 he comes back with, and then the disciples returned. It's called a Markan sandwich. I know, don't waste your time on it. But to be super honest, studying this passage all week made me angry. I know it was Thanksgiving week, and we're supposed to be thankful for things, but it made me angry. Here's why. John the Baptist, he was the greatest born among women. That's what Jesus said of him. The greatest of all the prophets, John the Baptist, he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. That doesn't happen. We all must be born again. Not John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And then get this, the way he died was because of the most perverted, sinful, drunken entertainment party. And it just made me mad. And all I'm going to do today is tell you what happened the way the Bible tells it. And this is sadly true. Don't read your Bible as if they are characters in a story. This is actual history. So Mark chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 14. Herod Antipas, remember that's chump. He's the king. Soon he heard about Jesus because everyone was talking about him. Some were saying, this must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That's why he can do such miracles. Others said, he's a prophet like Elijah. Still others said, he's a prophet like the other great prophets from the past. When Herod heard about Jesus, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has come back from the dead. Now, I'm sorry, most of your Bible is not PG. Most of your Bible is more R-rated than you want to imagine. I agree. Love it. gotta worship too. So Herod was worried about Jesus because he thought John the Baptist might have come back from the dead and I killed him. So he's worried. He's coming after me. That's what he's thinking. You need to know that Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. They're only about 6 months apart between them. They would have grown up together. They would have known each other. They would have spent time together, gone on holidays together. Now, if you can follow this story, what I'm about to read, You're better than I am because it's really messy. The story is messy because sin always messes things up. Sin never affects only you. If you want to feel the effects of sin, just look at how much sin has messed up things in your world. So he tells the story starting in verse 17, and it's a flashback to how John died. Here we go. 17, for Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor to Herodias. Track this. She had been his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, but Herod married her. John had been telling Herod, it's against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias bore a grudge against John. How bad was this grudge? Wanted to kill him. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless. For Herod respected John, knowing that he was a good and holy man. He protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him. Now, feel zero empathy and respect for Herod. Don't have any soft spot in your mind for Herod Antipas. Let me tell you why. Herod Antipas' dad, this is why it's messy, he was the Herod that said, may all the two-year-olds in Bethlehem, two and under, die. And they did it. You guys remember that story? That's Herod Antipas' dad. Wicked, wicked man. Not to bore you with history, but his dying wish was that his kingdom would be divided and his four favorite sons would get to rule over the kingdom. That's what happened. So here, Herod Antipas is one of Herod's sons. Evil, wicked pervert. First, he stole his brother Philip's wife. Okay? Her name was Herodias. Now, you might be tempted to think, yeah, you know, divorce, remarriage, it just happens, right? Humans being humans. Are you ready for this? They were related. Barf. Physically related. Incest. Barf again. Herodias was Herod the Great's granddaughter. Okay? I know you can't track this, neither could I, but I'm just telling you, it's wickedly wild. So Herod Antipas, just to make it simple for you, was her uncle. Barf again. And they married. I'm telling you, wicked, sinful, perverted people. And it gets worse. These are the ones who kill the greatest man born from women. I told you, this made me angry all week. John the Baptist did not shy away from calling out sin. To the ruling elites, even. Now, we would have probably told John the Baptist, you just need to stay out of politics. Just let them be them. No, no coward was John. Mark 6, 21 through 23. Let's keep going. Herodias' chance finally came on Herod's birthday. He gave a party for his high government officials, army officers, leading citizens of Galilee. Then his daughter, also named Herodias, which I'm going to say this is Herodias' daughter, and you'll see why when we get to verse 24. Then Herodias' daughter came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased Herod and his guest. Ask me for anything you'd like, the king said to the girl, and I will give it to you. He even vowed, like he says with a vow, oh, that was so good. Anything you want, and I will give it to you, up to half the kingdom. Now, this would have been an all-men's event. A drunken birthday party. Herod's parties were so grotesque and sinful that they actually had a name, Herodes Deus, the day of Herod. The Romans used birthdays as an excuse to indulge in sinful, wicked pleasures. Just so you know, there's only two birthday parties in the entire Bible, and they're both terrible. They both result in righteous people dying. It's just an excuse to eat, drink, and indulge in everything that this world has to offer. Herodias' daughter comes in. Now get this, the word used is little girl, 15, 16 years old. It's making me angry just talking about it. And she dances for old men. You got to get the scene because this is literally how John the Baptist dies. These old men are impressed and Herod all sauced up, full of pride in front of all of his elites, vows, ask me for anything. And it's yours. Here's a vow to a 15-year-old girl, anything you want, and it's yours. How about a pony? Ask for a unicorn, I don't know. Nope, she doesn't. She goes out and asks her mother. That's why I think this is Herodias' daughter. Mom, he just said I can have anything, anything I want. He swore to give it to me. What should I ask for? How wicked, evil, and demonic do you have to be when the most desirable thing for you is that the preacher dies? I mean, what's got to be going on in your heart that death is your highest priority, that guy die? I want his head. That revenge is your highest priority. Anything you want, you get one free wish. My enemy dies. You want to know what his only crime was? John the Baptist's only crime was he was calling out sin of her. Think about this today. This applies to us. If you love your sin, if you love your sin, you will kill anything that threatens it. If you love your sin, you will put the sword against whatever threatens your sin. You will protect whatever you value the most. This is true. If you love your sin, you will hate whoever points out your sin, whether it's your wife, husbands, whether it's your kids, whether it's your friends telling you. You will hate whatever you love the most. But if you love Christ, and if Christ is your highest treasure, you will put the sword against anything that threatens your relationship with Christ. Whatever this world has to offer, I don't want it because I want Christ. Romans 8:13 says, kill your sin or it will be killing you. Let's keep going. Mark 6:24. Keep going with the story. She went out and asked her mother, what should I ask for? Her mother told her, ask for the head of John the Baptist. So the girl hurried back to the king and told him, I want the head of John the Baptist right now on a tray. The king deeply regretted what he had said, but because of the vows he had made in front of his guests, get this, he couldn't refuse her. Yeah, he could have. He was just a coward. He could have said, no, I won't do that. Young men, practice courage now when you're young. Doing hard things when it doesn't look cool or it's not popular. So that when you get older and it matters, you will have I was going to say the word balls, but I didn't. You will have the guts, the encouragement. Anyways, the point is he cowered and he said he couldn't say no because he had guests over. So he immediately, verse 27, immediately sent an executioner to the prison to cut off John's head and bring it to him. This is a true story. The soldiers beheaded John in the prison, brought his head on a tray, and gave it to the girl who took it to her mom. And when John's disciples heard what had happened, they came and they got his body, his headless body, and buried it in a tomb. Does this make you angry? John was the most righteous man that ever lived besides Jesus. And he dies by the hands of the most perverted, sinful, wicked people this world could ever see. Some of you still don't think a loving God could send anyone to hell. Sin is uglier than you ever imagine. Sin is uglier than you ever managed. Let's just finish this out. Are you willing to be a disciple of Jesus if this was your end? If you had been assigned the role of John the Baptist, to call out sin to the point it lands you in prison, to where your end is that you lose your head. That's the point of the story. Would you follow him if you were going to be like John? As we read through our chronological Bibles, it tells us a little bit more. We get the fuller picture. The chronological Bible is all the Bible. It just throws it in order. Matthew tells us when Jesus heard of this, he went away to be by himself. This was his cousin. This is the one who baptized him. He saw the heavens open, and this is how John dies. Herod also wants Jesus dead. Luke 13 said, "Don't you know Jesus? Herod's seeking to kill you." And he says, "Come at me, bro." That's what he says. You can read it yourself. Now, here is the most amazing part of the story, and I want you guys to take this personal. Jesus did meet this same Herod at the end. Luke 23, Herod standing in front of Jesus, he questions him over and over again. And he said he was hoping to see another miracle. Just give me some entertainment. This is Herod. But Jesus answered him not a word. Take this personal. Jesus loves righteousness. He hates evil, and he's not just going to sweep this under the rug. You're standing in front of the person who killed your cousin, and he wants you dead too. John's disciples, they come and bury his headless body. Jesus knew all this. He experienced all of it. He felt it. He wanted to just go away and be by himself. And here he is at the end of his life, and he's standing face to face with Herod Antipas. Here's what I want you to think. What was going through Jesus' head when he stares at Herod Antipas in the face? There's going to come a day that you too will stand face to face with this Jesus. If you do not personally surrender to him as your Lord now, you will have the same fate as Herod and Herodias. This isn't just a story. This isn't just a sermon to get you to feel a certain way. This is coming. Jesus is either your Savior or he's your judge. Do you take Christ serious? Or is he just a joke? He doesn't care about religion. He cares about your relationship with him. And the only way that you are willing to suffer for Christ like this is if you see him worthy of it. So are you his follower? Are you in? Even if this is your lot. The greatest man born among women in God's will for his life, that he loses head to a perv party. Are you in? Is he worth it? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the promises that we have in Scripture, that you are worth it, that you are the King. Every knee will bow to you one day. And I pray that we see you for who you truly are. As you reveal a little bit more of yourself to us, I pray that it gives us a greater hunger for you. Help us to hate sin more than we do, to see its ugly consequences, and to know that what we do matters and it affects other people. And may we cling to Christ as our only hope. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.